Well, good morning. God bless everybody. Barney asked me to share on the word today. I really am blessed to be able to do that. In case you didn't figure it out with all the songs and even the manifestations, there's a lot of talk about love going on. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the love of God. This term is used a lot among the believers, as well as should be. And yet I wonder sometimes if because it is so used so much, do we really understand the depths of God's love for us? And I thought it was a great place to start would be in Ephesians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul has finished writing the section of Ephesians, the doctrinal part of Ephesians, and he's getting ready to go into the practical application of how we're to walk the things that God has put before us, the doctrines and the direction that he gives us. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to start in verse 14. And I'm going to use the New King James Version throughout this teaching. So if yours is a little different, that's why it's different. So let's go to verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That is how we're strengthened. It's by that Spirit of God in Christ that is in us. We do not do any of this on our own, and God never expects us to. Sometimes I think we forget that, and sometimes I think we find it challenging to maybe be who we know God has called us to be and renew our minds to some of the things that we need to in situations that we get involved in. But to know that it's not us just doing this by ourselves really takes away some of that pressure that you might feel or I might feel in situations. Verse 7, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and that's where we really need to be rooted and grounded, and that is in God's love, in God's heart and direction towards us, may be able to comprehend. And that word comprehend means to grasp it or to lay hold or seize it. It's not just a passing thought. It's not just something that feels good. It's something that we comprehend with all saints. This is all of us. All of us, all saints, that what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know, that word know is spelled G-I-N-O-N-A-I in Greek. And I asked Jan to pronounce it for me. Jan. There you go. To come to know, to recognize or perceive. That's that usage of that word know there. To recognize or perceive the love of Christ, which passes, and this is to go, passes means to go or run beyond knowledge. This word knowledge is gnosko. It's a little bit different than the other one, and it is used to describe an intimate, personal relationship that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that's what we need to do. We need to know or come to recognize and perceive the love of Christ, which passes or goes way beyond our knowledge intellectually. This is used, this word knowledge, gnosko, is used to describe, remember, an intimate personal relationship that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It is different just to understand and know about something. This is something that is personal. It is something that we do because of God's Spirit within us. We have this relationship, and that's how we understand the fullness of this love of God. Born again ones receive information, all of us, either from our five senses sources, but we have the ability to get information from God in the spiritual realm. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the way he directs us, the way he speaks to our hearts. That is what we need to have in order to understand and to experience this kind of love of God that he has for us and directs us to have for one another in his word. And the context here is to know the love of Christ, which is a direct expression of God's love for us. This is recorded in other sections of the word. This love of God is a direct expression of God's love for us, not the kind of love we grew up understanding in the world. But once we became born again in God's Spirit and we can go to the Word and see there is a love far greater than what this world has to offer. And that's what we need to look at today. John 3:16-17, I think we know that one. This is an expression of God's love, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 talks about how Christ came to save this world, not to judge this world. Romans 5, go to Romans 5, verse 8. This is another verse of scripture that demonstrates God's love towards us. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. Now that is the love of God. There is no conditions. There are no laws and rules when it comes to God's love. God loves us unconditionally. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is an expression. That is a demonstration of how deep and how wide this love of God is towards us. Even when we were sinners, that God gave his only begotten Son who never sinned for us. We did absolutely nothing to deserve it, but he did it anyway. This is a love that is very deep, very wide. There's nothing that can compare to it. Go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read some Bible here this morning and this topic of love, and I know most of the time when we talk about love, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll get there. But this is one of my favorite sections of God's Word because it is truly filled with a great, deep understanding of how much God really loves us. So 1 John 4, chapter 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. I mean, there's no way around it. He created this universe because of love. He created man because of love. He wanted an intimate relationship with man. God is love. It's just, wow. I mean, when I think about the depth of where that goes, it's just almost impossible, but I think God shows us this in his word. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Remember Jesus Christ, the lawyer, as we're trying to trick him and get him to speak out against what he knew in his heart was right when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Remember that section in the Gospels? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And to love your neighbor as what? If we don't understand this love of God towards us, how can we then appropriate that in our relationships with each other? God's love is extremely important. And the understanding of his love is extremely important. Go to verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. See, we don't have to see God to know love. His Spirit is living within us. And that is how he communicates with us. And he can communicate the greatness of his love for us through his written word or what he speaks to our hearts individually, because we all have different needs and we're all at different places in our walk with God, but God is right there with each and every individual person, no matter what. That's how great his love is. That's how big his love is. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Verse 15, whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. God deems it very important for us to understand this because he repeats it, not just here, but over and over throughout his whole word. I think it would be a great thing to be able to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as we read this section, I want us to look at it from a little different perspective. Most of the time we look at this section in light of how we are supposed to love each other, how we're supposed to treat each other. While we read it today, I want you guys to think about it in a little different light, even though that is truly what God has had it recorded for, but there's more to it than just what can be on the surface. But I want you to think about this when we're reading this. I want you to think about, this is how God loves me. Ron Booz, this is how God loves you. Shelley Stork, this is how God loves you. Quentin, this is how God loves you. Bob Linfelt, this is how God loves you. Ethel, this is how God loves you. This is how I want us to see these scriptures here. This is his expression of love towards us. Once we begin to understand the fullness of what God has shown us through his love, then we can begin to really manifest that love towards one another. And then forgiving people or forgetting things that are behind or for not feeling peaceful, but God tells us we can feel peaceful. Once we understand this love, those things become much easier to deal with. So as we read this, put your name in there, okay? This is not how God just tells us to love other people. This is how he truly loves us, without question, without exception. Unconditional, pure love of God. And that Spirit of God in Christ lives within us. Therefore, it is available for us to love this way. It truly is. It's available to renew our minds in circumstances that maybe we don't feel like it. But if we understand the depth of his love towards us, truly understand that, then it's easy to be imitators of God like it asks us to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Remember, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, God calls us to be imitators of him and walk in what? Love. Of all the things he tells us to imitate, it's love. It's love. Now let's look at what God says love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in light of how he looks at us. Love suffereth long and is kind. God puts up with us. That's my interpretation. God puts up with us. And he's kind to us regardless of where our heads are at. Love does not envy. Love does not flaunt itself or parade itself. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Do you know how many times God could be provoked? Well, let me just put it with me. I know there's plenty of times God could have been provoked with me because I didn't do what I should have done according to his word, because I was stubborn at times, because I didn't get it. But you know what? He didn't treat me that way. He patiently waited and continued to love me. Love thinks no evil. You know what? God does not think evil when he sees us, even when we're blowing it. When God sees us, you know who he sees? Jesus Christ, his only begotten, perfect Son of God. And that's how he sees you and me when he looks at us, because of this love, this unconditional love of God that he has towards mankind. Doesn't think evil. And that word think evil, for us to note, just in light of us loving each other back, means to judge or criticize someone's life to the point of making judgments about who they really are. See, we can't do that with one another. You know what? We shouldn't judge each other. We don't walk in each other's shoes, but we all walk with the love of God and the love of Christ, and we can forgive and we can build each other up, and we can move ahead no matter what the circumstances are, because that's exactly how God loves you. That's how he loves us, and he tells us to love each other with that same love. God sees us as Christ. He doesn't see our mistakes. And when we're dealing with each other, that is a very good thing to think about. Yeah, I know we can get on each other's nerves sometimes, especially everybody's isolated, you know, in these circumstances. But my prayer and my believing is that, you know what? It's just made us stronger to love each other greater. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. God's love believes all things according to the word. God's love hopes all things, endures all things. And love never what? Fails. It never fails. Do you get that? It never fails. And because God loves, and because God is all love, God will never fail us, you guys. And when we're walking in God's love, we won't fail each other. We will be there with that love, with that encouragement, with that tenderness, with that stand, that strong godly stand that God takes for us every single day. Love never fails, verse 8. But whether there be a prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And we know when that's going to happen, when the return happens. And you know what? God has promised us that. God has provided that for us because of all the love he has for us. And he has never failed. And he's not going to fail in this one. Christ is coming back. I don't care if people believe it or don't believe it. It is going to happen because God never fails in the things that he promises us. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what we need to do. You know what? We are men and women, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Elohim, the creator of this universe, that is our Father. And we have grown up in his word through the years, and we need to stand as mature, grown-up believers. And we need to teach our children. We need to teach others who want to know God, who want that personal, intimate relationship. It's not time for us to be childish and foolish in our life and in our thinking. We need to rise up and really do and be what God has called us to be. And when we understand this kind of love, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, getting prepared to do this teaching and just looking at the sections of God's word that I've been looking at, I really can see a deeper understanding in my own heart of this love, and it just humbles me. It just, I mean, it's like, okay, God, just help me to be better at doing what you're asking me to do here, because this is one of the most magnificent, honorable, special, important action that he's made available for us to take towards each other by putting his love in his spirit and his son in you and me. And we are without excuse when it comes to walking in the love of God. And if you see, this is how God walks towards you and me. This is how he looks at us and deals with us. Man, it puts a whole, for me, it just put a whole different scene on what I really am capable of doing when I'm walking in the love of God and not allowing my five senses information or my feelings control what I decide to do. We don't need to let our feelings and the things of this world stop us from being who God has called us to be.
So forgiveness and understanding and patience, the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians talks about, love, joy, peace, all of that is part of how we should behave every day in our life, not only towards each other, but towards ourselves. You know, it's not hard for me to forgive somebody when I remember what God's forgiven me for through the years. I mean, really? This is such a major key for us to be able to walk by the Spirit of God and to manifest that love of God that is so powerful and so healing in our lives. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. That's how God knows us, is through his love, man. He sees us through his loving eyes, and he sees Christ. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And one of the reasons the greatest of these is love is because it is what we can do right now. You know, Christ is coming back, and we have faith. But the greatest of these three is love. We are God's masterpieces. And when we really grasp how much God loves us, we will have no problem loving one another. And that should be something that dwells within our heart, and that we go to God and we ask God to tenderize our hearts and to allow us to see the greatness of who my brother or my sister is that I'm dealing with in Christ. It is Christ that I'm dealing with. That is who I should see. Not the mistakes, not what made me angry, not what irritated me, but who he is or who she is in Christ. Because that's the heart that I'm dealing with. And that's the way I want to be dealt with when I've blown it. I want someone to deal with me with the honesty and the integrity of God's word and the love of God and give me the chance to respond like the woman of God that I am. So, you know, when we deal with each other and we think about one another, let's think about that love that God has for each one of us, and that is the expression and the kindness and the joyful way God wants us to treat each other. Okay, so this has been a great time to share with you. I'm thankful to be able to share it, and I love you guys very, very much. And Barney's telling me to pray, so I'll end this with prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. God, sometimes it just seems so impossible to express how you really love us, the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of all of this, you know, and how nothing can separate us from that love of God. Father, you are just so incredible. Just continue to teach us and help us to grow in our understanding and in our ability to manifest that love of God towards one another. We know, Father, that the darkness of this world is only going to be gone by the light that shines in it. And that light is you and your love and your Son that lives within each and every one of us. So continue to teach us, Father. Continue to work with us. Continue to help us manifest the things that you want us to manifest so we can truly be the shining lights of this world with joyful hearts and confident hearts, Father, that you are there with us, working in us, around us, and that you never fail. And your love is always something we can rely upon and come to in any time of need or joy or rejoicing. I thank you for this because of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose love was so manifested for us on the cross. And your love was so manifested to us, Father, for that gift and for then raising him from the dead. And now he's seated with you. And, man, God, that is just an incredible thing for us to dwell upon and to realize you did that just because you love every single one of us, just as you love Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.